Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back. We're the Connor Abber Show, 1620 The Zone and 1620thezone.com. We are joined now on the phone by Michael Bruntz of Husker 24/7. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Are you looking forward to Nick Saban's response to the response?
Yeah. Are we going to get one?
Apparently he's going. Apparently he's going on the radio this afternoon somewhere.
Awesome. Paul Feinbaum's got to be loving this, right? Like, you've got two of the biggest guys in the SEC just, you know, bare-knuckle boxing in the off season. I mean, that's like the SEC dream, right?
I just hope they fire. Because this will never actually come to anything. They'll just talk about each other, sometimes full-out aggressively, sometimes passive-aggressively during press conferences throughout the entire summer, leading up to when they play in early October. It'll be pretty exciting.
Well, SEC Media Days is always, it's always kind of must-see TV anyways, but it feels like, especially this year, and at least the good thing for Nebraska fans is that the A&M and Alabama play the weekend and Nebraska plays on Friday against Rutgers, so you have plenty of time to find your nearest A&M or Alabama alumni bar and set up shop there all day on Saturday.
In the city? In New York City with all the... I mean, that'd be fantastic. That's going to be you.
I actually found the A&M alumni bar just in case. So depending on what the flight plan is that day, that option exists.
There's just a big banner on the wall that says, "You're not God."
Despicable. Yeah.
He's a narcissist.
And this is kind of how, I mean, I'm kind of an idiot anyways, but I was just hoping that, you know, some A&M media member was just going to be like, you know, "Jimbo, we haven't talked to you in a little while. Can you give us an injury update on a third string running back? And is he going to be ready for fall camp?"
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty funny. I was hoping there was some sort of interjection in there, but even like he was going after it, like even if there was a question that, I mean, they all had something to do with it, but he always kept going back to the same thing. He was dead set on. I mean, there's a reason why the guy called a press conference randomly out of thin air.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, it's not like he had a PowerPoint, but there was definitely like probably a few things he wanted to hit on when you have a hastily thrown together press conference like that. So
yeah.
You know, I don't know if this, you know, does Lane Kiffin somehow get involved in this? I feel like he's kind of the ultimate SEC troll. Mike Leach is down there being awfully quiet right now.
Yep.
So I don't know. It feels like this has spillover potential, but I doubt that happens.
Well, Lane Kiffin has just been sitting around like retweeting jokes all morning about this entire thing, which I thought was pretty funny.
Very on brand too.
Very on brand. He's pretty jealous that he's not involved in this controversy right now.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't even the SEC Network wasn't televising that today, were they?
No, we turned it over to SEC Network just to see what was going on, and they were playing the Georgia spring game, and they would like Dari Noka would pop in from the SEC Network studio every once in a while and be like, I don't know exactly what he was saying because we couldn't hear it, but he was basically saying, "Hey, look, we are aware of the situation that is going on right now, but we return you back to the Georgia spring game because we didn't have enough time to prepare for this.
We're gonna show you the spring game of the team that neither of these teams are gonna beat this year."
Yes,
that's what they're doing.
I like that. Yeah, then they turned on the Alabama one afterwards, and now I've switched it over to Royals pregame because I'm a glutton for punishment, I suppose. Brunts, Nebraska baseball, the postseason, their version of the postseason will begin tonight at Haymarket Park. What would you put their chances at? They don't. I mean, Michigan State's not a very good team. Now, on the other hand, Nebraska has struggled with whoever they've played this year. What would you put their realistic chances at sweeping the weekend?
Percentage wise,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I probably would say I would probably give it about a little less than a coin flip. I just it's so hard to say with any kind of confidence that like this team is going to get the job done, because the types of things that they don't do well and have not done well all year are the types of things that you have to do to sweep a series like this when there's pressure on. You know, they don't play reliable defense. You know, the pitching, especially as you get deeper into the bullpen, has been somewhat suspect. And that last game on Saturday, if, you know, Nebraska's won the first two, there's going to be a lot of pressure on some guys that, you know, mm-hmm. maybe haven't been in that situation before. That's just the reality of the situation for this team because of injuries and dismissals and everything else. So it's going to be, I would not call it a slam dunk that they're going to come out 3-0. You know, the things that have to happen elsewhere, I mean, I think it's pretty realistic that Maryland can really take it to Purdue this weekend. I mean, Maryland's playing for a potential host, a host situation in a regional. They're also in the running for the Big Ten title, so they're going to be dialed in. But, you know, the key this weekend for me is whether or not Nebraska's offense is going to show up, because I think this is a series where Nebraska is just going to have to outscore Michigan State. You're going to have to give that pitching staff a little bit of a lead. And I think if they do that, they've got a pretty good shot. But again, you know, this is a team that you would have thought could have gone up and swept Minnesota. They lost that series. There's been a couple other games that they've dropped that if, you know, those had gone differently, you're not in this situation having to sweep on the final weekend.
Do they have enough pitching? Obviously, they're going to have to score some runs. Do they have enough pitching just to kind of get through it? I mean, for the last few weekends, they haven't really named weekend starters all that much. And I know they have tonight and Friday, you know, set up as of right now, kind of TBD on Sunday. You throw what you got at them. Do they have enough to kind of get through the weekend series?
They do if they get good starts. You know, the problem has been when you've, you know, got a Friday night start that you go four innings and give up five runs, and all of a sudden you're having to burn Cody Frank or, you know, one of your kind of long relief guys on Friday night. You know, if Jackson Brockett can give you five or six innings tonight, then yeah, I think they do have the pitching to get through that. It's really going to be on, can they get off to a good start tonight? And, you know, can Emmett Olson give them five or six innings on Friday? I mean, that's the key, because, you know, the reason they've been TBD on Sunday all year is because they don't know if they've had to use Cody Frank in a relief role right out of the gates. And they've kind of basically approached every weekend with, you know, we're going to really try to win Friday and Saturday and kind of let the pieces fall where they may on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough place to be, but it's really going to be on the starting pitching to get them deeper into games than they have at most times this season.
What's the sense you get from them, from the team, on as far as like the urgency of this weekend? Obviously it's really high because you have to win all three games, but in totality, you know, salvaging something out of this season to make the Big Ten tournament in Omaha would feel like almost a win at this point. What is the importance level that they've placed on just doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's high. I mean, they obviously, you know, coming into the season and based on how last year went, you're talking about hosting regionals. And, you know, right now you're in the fight of your life just to get to the Big Ten tournament. So that's the first step in salvaging anything is just getting to Omaha. And I think that guys, you know, understand the urgency of things. They're obviously disappointed in the way that the year's gone. I mean, that nothing has really gone to plan for the way they kind of came into the season. So, you know, we'll see if they can dig deep and do that. You know, every time you go over there before a series and talk to these guys, I mean, we've heard all season that they legitimately feel like that their best baseball's ahead of them. They've got a chance to get hot, but it hasn't clicked yet for whatever, any number of reasons. But they're going to be dialed in. It's just going to be a matter of whether they can do the small things with consistency this weekend to allow them to sweep.
Yeah. Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. Bruns, let's go to football real quick. As Nebraska gets another guy from the transfer portal coming off of last weekend in Kane Williams, maybe a guy or two still kind of hanging out there for them. But for the most part, the roster looks to be where it's going to be in 100 days when Nebraska opens up the season in Ireland against Northwestern. Not from the perspective of filling holes, but as far as the types of players they got and the talent level of the players that they ended up with, how do you think things turned out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit hesitant to say that, you know, they're, you know, significantly improved because I haven't seen enough to know that. I mean, I think the guys that they've brought in strike me as guys that have high ceilings that haven't been maxed out from their previous spot. In thinking about the, you know, especially the skill position guys that they brought in, I mean, I feel like Trey Palmer has the potential to be a really good wide receiver for Nebraska. We haven't seen him hardly at all. I think Garcia Castaneda from New Mexico State, but he's another kind of big play guy that they're going to add to that offense that I think is going to give them another dynamic there. So I think they did a good job of, you know, addressing needs. We'll see, you know, what the defensive line stuff holds, because that still is the biggest question mark in my mind. But, you know, the as much as I think there was kind of hesitation this time last year on Nebraska's part about how heavy they wanted to go into the portal, I think they immediately saw the advantages of doing that when you had so many holes to fill and you needed to upgrade talent at a number of spots.
Is there anybody, I don't know, maybe this is hindsight, but the way that I thought about a guy like Samori Toure last year, and that was even coming off of Nebraska taking another grad transfer receiver that didn't work out and kind of Ainoa, but I felt like Samori Toure was a pretty sure bet to be pretty productive for Nebraska last year. And he may have exceeded those expectations. Is there anybody you feel that way about in this transfer class?
Well, I mean, O'Shawn Mathis. Right. I mean, that's kind of where I would go. I mean, I think, you know, the longer I've done this, I think, you know, you look at prior production being an indicator of future production. I mean, that's such a huge, it's not even just the portal stuff. I mean, you look at high school guys, offensive guys. I mean, a guy that's not productive at the high school level is generally not going to all of a sudden be productive the second
totally agree.
He sets foot on a college campus. So, yeah, I mean, O'Shawn Mathis has the numbers to back up the interest in him in the portal. I think that's the guy that I probably go to first of, like, based on what we know, he seems to be that kind of an impact guy. And Toure was the same way where, you know, he had done so much at that level. And there's certainly concerns about how guys adjust to a new league, a new level of play or whatever. But, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, when you start talking about portal additions, that's the biggest factor is, you know, has this guy done it elsewhere? Because I think, you know, the ask of bringing him in and having him be a big part of your team is a lot less if he's got that experience.
Yeah. Like, unless you're jumping down a level, like, say, from, you know, Power 5 to FCS or something like that, where they just never got on the field at all. And there are going to be some scenarios where that works out for, you know, at a place like Nebraska where a guy gets a fresh start. But I'm with you, man. We a lot of times get caught up in, I think, the high school recruiting rankings and the transfer portal recruiting rankings and all that stuff, where a lot of times it's just, hey, if you were successful at the last place, you are probably going to be successful here.
Yeah. I mean, it's that way, you know, with quarterbacks, like if a guy is not accurate at the high school level or has struggled with completion percentage there, I mean, you're not going to suddenly have this huge, increase in that. I think once you get to college without a ton of work and a ton of time, and you know, it's the same at the running back spot. same wide receiver spot. So, I mean, that to me, I think, is one thing you can really kind of lean on when you're kind of predicting how effective a guy's going to be out of the portal for you. I mean, like you said, there are exceptions. Guys, maybe were injured or, didn't factor in the rotation for whatever reason or whatever. But that generally, I think, holds true that if a guy's productive at one level, it's going to be at the next one too.
Brett's nothing too crazy in A's chat this week, except for all the pictures of the stadium basically being decrepit and falling apart. But that's not news.
Oh, you didn't see the possum?
Oh, yeah, there was a possum. Yeah. Got lost in the Arkansas in the Arkansas thing. But yes, there was a possum in Oakland as well.
Yeah, and over multiple days in the press box, it kept poking its head through, and apparently the Twins broadcast crew had to evacuate their booth for a little bit to allow animal control to come in to try to wrangle the possum. And now you can buy Oakland Rally Possum T-shirts, by the way.
Nice. Perfect. I'd love one, to be honest with you. Are you going to, if you encounter a possum or a rat, which one are you going to be more scared of?
So I've encountered both, and generally I would say the rat is probably a little bit more concerning. Possums are bigger generally, but they're not as quick. And we had some possum problems under the deck a few years ago, got those handled. I think in closed quarters, I'd be a little bit more concerned with the rat than a possum.
Did you report your possum problem to the Nextdoor app?
No, I didn't. That's Fox country. You don't go on there with this possum. You gotta have like three or four foxes in your yard before you start posting on there.
Yeah. It gets wild over there, on Fox Talk. On the
there was a guy. Okay, we're getting in the weeds.
Go ahead.
Couple days ago, a guy posts on the Lincoln next door, not just the neighborhood, but like Lincoln wide, and he had like 9 foxes in his backyard. I don't even know what you call a group of foxes. Is it a pack or
maybe a horde?
A gaggle.
Yeah, gaggle.
A murder of foxes.
It's called a skulk.
A skulk. Okay. Well. It was a big skulk, and there were like 8 or 9 of them sitting in his backyard, just kind of chilling. I don't know what's going on there, but that got the old people on Nextdoor hopping.
Got a lot of attentions, a lot of shares on that one. All right, Brunts, we'll catch up next week. Hey, I'll see you at the ballpark tonight. Are you going?
I will be there. We'll talk skulks.
Excellent.
During break and play.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Yep.
Michael Brunts of Husker 24/7. Always keeping an eye on what's best for your neighborhood and what's going on around you.
He's like Spider-Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Michael Brunts. We'll come back with Josh's top five. Did we decide?
We decided. How did I word it? It will be the top five Big Ten coaches ripe for an SEC style beef.
Potential Big Ten coach beefs.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That is next here on 1620 The Zone. It is the final day of Do Good Days. We want to do good every day, but we're highlighting it this week. And today's Volun Thursday. Give your time, family and friends. Make a new volunteer commitment. Any of our local nonprofits here, Do Good Days, a 3-day event of giving back to the community. Introduced by our friends at Share Omaha. If you want to learn more how to get involved, you can pick up some info, 1620thezone.com.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.